My name is Lizzie Kramer, and I'm interning for the Sanctuary this summer, and I'm here with Ellie Irons to talk about her use of bio art as a form of socially engaged art.
Hello, so I'm Ellie Irons. I am a PhD student in arts practice at RPI, and I'm also an educator for Nature Lab at the Sanctuary. And I work a lot with plant-people connections. I'm really interested in taking socially engaged art, which is a form of art that takes social interaction, like walks and classes and making things together as an actual art form, and combining socially engaged art with urban ecology, so forms of knowledge about the urban landscape. And for me, that can come from dominant Western science, so in terms of like plant biology and ecosystem management and even invasion biology and all these worlds of ways that we manage the landscape, and also from embodied knowledge, so the kind of knowledge you hold in your body from like touching a plant or smelling the fact that it's rained when you step out your door, and then all the way over to really appreciating the history and living knowledge of indigenous communities who've long known plants as kin, and kind of trying to learn through interaction and reading a little bit more about what has been lost from my background as a settler of European ancestry who's kind of alienated from plants and trying to reclaim some of that history through art.
And I'm so intrigued, how did you get into that area within art?
In terms of my background, I come from a painting and drawing background and a background studying urban ecology. I also have long taught art, so I used to teach in a museum setting, and that's what allowed me to get into socially engaged art. I never really thought of myself as a performer or as someone who would pick up socially engaged art, but when I started working with one of my projects, Feral and Invasive Pigments, which is a project where I make watercolor plant paints out of plants that are growing out of sidewalk cracks and so-called vacant lots. I developed this practice and was just making paintings with it in the studio, and folks started asking me how to do it. So I made a little handbook for how to do it, and then I discovered that it was really fun to walk around the city with people and collect plants and then make paint together. And as we started doing this, I realized that it was becoming a really important part of my artistic practice, but I was able to associate all this activity that I'd kind of admired and been interested in happening in socially engaged art and realize, oh wait, this is kind of what I'm doing. And that framework fits for me as one component of the other stuff I'm doing.
And how did you originally get interested or involved with the ecology part of it?
I would say that I've pretty much always been oriented towards the more than human world, partially just like where I grew up, a rural place with lots of trees and not that many humans. And then as an undergrad, I was just drawn to these theories of ecology in terms of like how things are interconnected. So I've always loved like food webs and trophic webs and the carbon cycle, and that's always influenced my art, like thinking about systems like that. So that's led me to do some ecology research as an undergrad, and then I was also painting at the same time, but I didn't know how to like combine them, and it took about like 10 years of stewing after my undergrad and being kind of like miserable in the studio making paintings about extinction, and then also continuing to like read about ecology to bring them together.
And I'd love to hear a little bit more about how socially engaged art sort of brings, or what kind of communities it brings you to interact with.
Yeah, sure. I mean, in the context of working with the Sanctuary and Nature Lab, that's been a really incredible opportunity through the connections that the Sanctuary has fostered over the years with folks in the neighborhood of North Central. And North Central, all of Troy is post-industrial, if you want to call it that, and has been impacted by extraction, pollution, kind of as a dumping ground for a lot of industries. But due to the history of redlining and all sorts of inequitable policies and processes from the state and the city, North Central has gotten the brunt of it, and this has been mostly foisted on Black, brown immigrant communities. So I love to work with youth in these contexts, and that's what the Sanctuary's given me the opportunity to do, to find chances to connect to plant life without having to go over there, assuming that like nature's not here because we've been told it's polluted. But there's this beautiful wildflowers and we can have an interaction with them. Or there's these troubling plants who grow way too fast and everyone's always cutting them down and we can learn about those. So that, I love that context of like rooted, grounded work with community wherever I am. And then also takes me into academic worlds often. So in the PhD land that I'm in, it means interacting with people who do like science and technology studies who are at a kind of more, not distance because they do hands-on work, but are exploring systems of power and how those systems relate to science. And doing hands-on workshops with a group like that who spends a lot of time reading and then like getting them to touch plants and interact. And that's also one of the spectrums of social engagement for me.
How do you see the role of art in connecting with people or places?
I ask myself that question all the time because some of what I do, I could do without framing it as art. Like I have a project called the Lawn Redisturbance Laboratory that's looking at making a lawn into a more productive ecosystem. And it's kind of like gardening in the end. And so why don't I just go garden? Because I framed it as a sculptural project, it allows me to amplify it in a different way and to frame the plants as collaborators because it's this kind of creative framework where it's a little bit whimsical and it's like, is she being funny or is she serious? I'm actually serious, but it allows me some license to experiment that I might not get.
Yeah, I would love to hear a little bit more about the Lawn Lab.
Yeah, so the Lawn Lab came out of my move from Brooklyn to Troy. In Brooklyn, I was surrounded by a lot of asphalt and so-called vacant lots with weedy plant species exploding out of them. We certainly have that in Troy, but another thing that's very salient here is the huge amount of lawns. So Rensselaer Polytechnic, where I go to school, has vast, highly manicured lawns that get chemically treated and fertilized and cut very often. And then other parts of Troy have more wild feral lawns, so they're trimmed all the time, but they don't get the same kind of herbicide input. But both are occluding other kinds of possibilities. Both are repressing the soil seed bank. So there's seeds sleeping in all soil that are dormant and ready to wake up and do their thing. And as long as we're mowing really frequently, they just get held under that coating of green. Mm-hmm. So we disrupt that civility by taking a 1 meter by 1 meter patch and pulling the turf off. And then we top it with a sculpture, a yellow pyramid form, and the seeds wake up. And they grow across the season and they express their creativity in the confines of the sculpture and they're protected from mowing, ideally, by the sculpture and by an agreement with the people who manage the lawn. It's a social engagement with the bureaucracy of landscape management also. There's usually community events, so we always involve some portion of the community in disrupting the lawn and then in paying attention to what comes up across time.
Wow. And how have you seen communities interact or respond to that intervention?
That really depends on the location and the context. So for instance, we're doing one at Greenwood Cemetery, which is a big cemetery in Brooklyn that's got a lot of history in terms of originally being like a green cemetery outside of the city. And now the city has come and grown up around it. So now it's like a refuge. Mm-hmm. So folks go there to mourn and remember their dead, they also go there to walk their dogs and recreate, especially during COVID. And the Greenwood invited us, or we kind of negotiated with them to do the project there because they are really interested in the potential of rewilding some of their lawns. Mm-hmm. But they're having trouble with public reception of that because it's perceived as, if you let the lawn grow long around gravesites, perceived as disrespectful, as not caring for the landscape in the same way. So we put our sculptures in there as a way of kind of introducing long grass as an art in a way. And so I'm getting to that question about how different groups interact. The folks who maintain that lawn, which is a company that Greenwood hired, they mow it like 3 times a year. So it gets much longer. Instead of like 50 times a year, they mow it 3 times. Those folks came in to mow and they thought, oh, sculptures. We should maintain the sculptures. They'll appreciate that. And they mowed inside the sculpture. So, and that happens, you know, and I also get folks who think about the one in North Central that, why don't you plant wildflowers? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, there are wildflowers there and they came of their own accord and I don't have to maintain them because they're so tough. They'll survive, but they're weedy and they're going to ruin the neighborhood. And so I get both perspectives and that friction of like misunderstanding and trying to negotiate different values and different aesthetics is a key part of the work, too.
Do you have a main goal or sort of a shift in view or message that you hope audiences take away from your art?
Yes, definitely. I mean, the overarching concept that I might not say out loud all the time is that we've got this problematic bifurcation between nature and culture that's been expanding out of Western Europe along with colonialism and imperialism over the past 400 and something years. And there's a lot of other ways to look at the environmental crisis, protracted long environmental crisis, but that's one way, is that if we stop putting ourselves outside and above, certain humans outside and above, as people who get to extract, we'd be better off. But in a more specific sense, in terms of connecting with plants, I just really want folks to think contextually and specifically, like, what's happening on the land I'm in? Is this tree of heaven, this ailanthus here, shading food that I want to eat later? Or is it creating shade in a place that doesn't have much shade? And I might cut it down in one situation, say, thank you for trying. I don't need you here right now. You're going to grow somewhere else another time. In another situation, I might encourage it. So really just thinking about every plant is considered native somewhere. It came from somewhere, and every plant has the potential to naturalize to a landscape and to find itself in balance, whatever that means. Just think about the place you're in and what the plant is actually doing in it, rather than the monolithic species that you think of as so-called invasive throughout